like good singing all the way around. Here's happy birthday on the 14th. That's me. That's me coming up right here. Somebody's written on a new calendar here. And all that been is there, and that's good, because I may not remember it by the time it gets here. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking tonight over in the book of Jeremiah. Over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6, you find the place. Let me get this turned on. How's that? Is that it? Jeremiah chapter number 6, that's where we're going to be reading from this evening. If you find the place you're able to stand, then we'll begin reading right there. Verse number 10 says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? And behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them as a reproach. They have no delight in it." That's the sad case, isn't it? "Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord, and I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men and together, for even the husband with the wife shall be taken, and the aged with him that is full of days. Their houses shall be turned unto others, and their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. From the prophet, even to the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed the hurt of my daughter, the daughter of my people, slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed whenever they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. And neither could they blush, and therefore shall they fall among them that fall. At a time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Bless, I pray, everyone that's gathered, be with those that could not be. Touch those that are sick, heal them, restore their health. And Lord, we pray you'd touch those that are lost without God, that they'll come to know you in the free pardon of sin. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on when the heart is slightly healed. You know, the people of Israel, they become bold in their sin. I mean, like we are here in America, they were unashamed and they committed abominations. And as a result of it, from the White House to the church house to the outhouse, they were just living a godless and a wicked life. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is that nobody was hearing anymore. I mean, my word, if you're going to live right and walk right and talk right and spit wine, then you want to hear the word of the Lord. But if you're going to be contrary to what God says, last thing you want to do is hear somebody teaching the word or preaching the word of the Lord. Have you ever noticed is that every time that a person that in the world, you know, the Bible said that if a brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. In the day we live in, you know, there's very little rebuke and there's very little repentance. In fact, if you rebuke a brother now, I can't tell you how many people down through the 50 years that I've been in this thing that have said, "Now, if you see me neglect with my family or neglecting something I ought to be doing, don't hesitate to tell me." Well, that's all right today while you're right with God. But when you're full of hell yourself, you're not going to want nobody telling you what's wrong with your son, what's wrong with your daughter, what's wrong with, you understand what I'm telling you? That's the reason why that when we begin to look into the Bible, you begin to find out that the prophet and the priest, they had all gone nuts. They got to where they were money hungry. That's really where we're at in the day we live in, and I'm not against people making money, and I'm not against a person being, being conservative. What's the word they use? Frugal? Is that a good word there? With your money. I'm not opposed to that. But what I am saying to you, when you get to where that's what you're eating and that's what you're thinking and that's what you're dreaming and it's money, money, money at the expense of the message of God, something's wrong with you. See? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that he said that they have gotten a wound and a dishonor and they've got something that's wrong with them that can't never get well. I got to tell you, whenever you're healed sightly, that means it's on the outside. It appears to be healed on the inside. It's still touching. It's still tender. It's not well. It's easy to break out again real quickly. I want to say to you that religion in the day we live in only makes matters worse when it concerns a wound and when it concerns a purpose of well-being. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, it's an old familiar passage that everybody knows about. Whenever God made the statement in verse 14, it said that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, in the day we live in, back over in our text that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that they're going to fall because of the fact that they were not ashamed whatsoever, and they couldn't blush whenever they had gotten away from God and the word of the Lord, and it was pointed out unto them. I want to say to you, when men reject the word of the Lord, then judgment awaits them. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that destruction in verse number 1 of our text, destruction was on the way. They were gathered together day by day coming against them. The enemy was going to approach them, and day by day, and they came in by night, according to verse 5. And as a result of that, you'll find out they were coming in by the hand of the Lord, and as a result of it, they were about to pay the price. Now, let me say to you, God always has and always seemingly does and will uses the heathen to be able to discipline his own children. Why God would use that and do that is beyond me. That's because he's God and we're not. But in verse number 4 of our text that we looked at, he says in Jeremiah 6 verse 4, prepare for war. And I'll tell you right now is that I think that we've in the country lost sight of that. But see, the book of Revelation is still going to be what it always has when the battle of Armageddon and they come against the Lord and his anointed. And make no mistake about it is that one of these days it's going to happen. Over there in the book of Jeremiah, when we was reading about that, you'll find they've rejected the word of the Lord. They rejoiced in their wicked lying. And as a result of it, they're going to be ruined and ravished by war. Now in Jeremiah chapter number 4, verse 17 and 18, you'll find out what was wrong, was it? Their ways and their doings has now gotten hold and contaminated their own heart. You know, if you let something go unchecked long enough while you turn to 2 Kings in chapter 25, if you let something go undone and just keep putting it off until another day, and by the way, you know, there's a lot of people that say, well, you know, I may get saved later. Who told you you was going to be alive later? Well, I'm going to get it straightened out later. Well, who told you you was going to have later to get it straightened out in? Over there in the book of 2 Kings in chapter number 25. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he's come against Jerusalem. And boy, let me tell you right now is the enemy came in on them. They've set up camp on the outside, and not only that, they're about to use up everything that's in store. Look in about verse number 2. And the city was besieged on the 11th year of the king Zedekiah, and on the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And you know what happened, don't you? Famine now is upon them. They've used up all their store, all that they had saved, all that they had in resources. And now famine's about to prevail, starvation's about to set in. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that the reason why God pointed that out is because of the fact is that we got to the place that in this country that we're living in, we're not making very much or producing very much. And the reason being is we're dependent upon another country, namely China. And we get all of our food, we get all of most of our implements and tools and this and that. And how did that come about? Well, it got to where it was too expensive to be able to produce it here in America. And so as a result of that, then we've got people that from another country that are able to work cheap. And people that are here in America that have cheap labor in foreign countries that they can hire. And as a result of it, we got more interested in this country in being able to have quantity than we were quality. See, we used to really like something that was really good. Now it don't matter if it's any good or not, if it's cheap enough. Did you ever notice used to years ago, whenever you'd go to be able to buy you an automobile or something, there was a little bit of room and bargaining room. I quit using the word dickering. I was at a flea market one time, and some nice looking young lady, and I'm saying she's probably in her 20s, and I was asking about a certain item. I don't even remember what it was. And she told me how much it was, and I said, "Is there any dickering room on this?" And she looked at me like that's the most God-awful thing I've had anybody ever ask me. I said, "No, it means to bargain. It means, you know, to try to, yeah. You need to get used to some of these old terminologies." Boy, I'm telling you right now, I'm glad her boyfriend or husband or one-to-be or what all that wasn't hanging around. But anyhow, we live in a world that no longer, have you ever noticed when you're buying an automobile, they don't ask you, you don't ever have to ask them how much you want for this vehicle here. No, they're going to ask you. And they're going to ask you, what do you want your payment to be? That's all that's important now in America. How much is the payment on this deal? I don't know how much you need it to be. We may have to work on it a little bit. Now, if you've had to do that, I'm not knocking that. I'm just trying to say that as a whole, that in the country, that's the way that it is. In this lesson you're looking at, you'll find is that they got to the place to where their ways and their doing had now contaminated their heart. And as a result of that, in 2 Kings in chapter number 25 and about verse number 1 when we looked at it, is that you'll find the enemy came. He set up camp. He's used up all of their store. And as a result of that, it's reminding us that we're not making anything anymore. We're simply selling products that we got from cheap labor from another country. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, look in verse 7 of chapter number 25, 2 Kings. And the Bible said, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. Now, I'm going to tell you the last thing that old Zedekiah ever saw before he was carried off into Babylon in captivity, the last thing he ever saw was his sons alive that were slain right before his eyes. Now, how'd you like to be able to witness that? In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out while Zedekiah watched his own sons die, the last thing he ever saw was them dying. And then they put out his eyes, so forth and on. Now that's the reason why that back over in our text, whenever we looked at verse number 10, whenever he asked the question, "To whom shall I speak and give a warning?" He'd been speaking, they didn't care. The prophet and the priest, the people that were representative of the Lord and the word of the Lord, they got to where that they went ahead and curbed the message so they could get a little more jingle put in their pocket. We live like that in the day and hour that we're living in. I had a preacher call me up one time. He lives up close to Dallas. God help him. But he called me up and he said, "Oh, man," you know, he wanted to get on the tape list at that time. We had several people and so forth and on. And he said, "Whoa, man, that was a barn burner you turned loose on Sunday. I don't see how you have anybody in the congregation to show up." If I were to say any of that, I wouldn't even have a church anymore. They'd all leave me. I said to him, "That's pretty sorry preaching. What you got won't listen to the word of the Lord and shout amen every now and then or oh me or something. If what you got, buddy, Bible preaching doesn't make them stronger, it makes them get gone. That's your problem. That's your fault. That shows you're not doing nothing." In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the Bible said over here in Jeremiah, "Who am I going to speak to? Nobody wants to hear it anymore. They can't hear it. They have no delight in the word of the Lord." And notice, if you will, please, in verse 11 that we read, "Therefore God said, I'm full of fury." And I can tell you what, he said, "I'm weary with holding back." You'll find out they lasted so long away from God that finally that it was too late for them to repent. Now they're awaiting judgment. I want to say that's about where we are in America in the day and hour that we're living in. I remember years ago, there was a man by the name of D.L. Moody. And he was back in the days, you know, whenever you could go out and solicit people and they'd fill up a stadium, an auditorium, or whatever. He used to have a Bible class, Mr. Moody did. And as a result of it, he had several young men in it. And he had won all of those men, he had won them to the Lord, except for one, and he wasn't able to win him to Christ. The man told him, Mr. Moody, I'm going to go ahead and make a fortune and run up and down the road of life a little bit. When I make a fortune, then I'll accept Christ. Well, the man became ill and landed in the hospital. Mr. Moody went and visited with him again there in the hospital and tried to win him to the Lord. And this time the man became angered with him. And he said, don't speak to me again about this matter that's here. I told you, if I ever make my fortune, then I'm going to trust Christ. And he left Mr. Moody. When he left him, the man was mad. The man was angry with him. But something happened and snapped on the inside of Mr. Moody. He didn't know why or what or anything like that. And later on that night, there was a summons at his door, and it was this man's wife. And the only word she had to say was, too late, too late, it's too late. Now, I got to tell you something, is that there's a lot of that in the day and hour that we're living in. And make no mistake about it, is that there's some fellows across the country that have had the ear of this nation if they would have just used it. Of course, had they spoken the unadulterated word of the Lord, they probably would have lost a lot of its listeners. But let me say to you that if you will, you don't never want to get past the point of no return to where that finally somebody has to say, too late, too late. It's just too late. They're already gone. I don't know nothing about these folks that we hear up and down the life. I just know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I got to say to you is that people may go into great depths trying to explain to you who Jesus Christ is. But I'm like that man that had been born from birth blind. And they said, how is it you're made to see? And when he began to tell them, they didn't like Jesus and they began to accuse Jesus that he was not of God, that couldn't be. It couldn't be that Jesus had done that. And that he was an evil man. I remember what that man said. I said, whether he be evil or not, I don't know. What I do know is, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. What a good thing that is, to have such an experience that can't be shaken by the criticism of the men and women, boys and girls up and down the road of life. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, thank you for loving us. We ask your blessings now upon these that have been mentioned. Lord, I pray you touch those that are sick and heal them. I pray for Miss Courtney and her doctor's appointment. We pray for this baby that's going to be born. We ask you, Lord, and rejoice with thanksgiving over Mr. Jack being able to recuperate from what was upon him in a plague. Now, Lord, we say thank you for loving us and go with us through this week. Lead.